Hebrews chapter 10. I draw your attention tonight to verses 19 through to 21. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Tonight, I want to speak about the way. In verse 20, it refers to a new and living way. In the Bible, the way is a road of travel, a road of transport. It's a path that men go on. It's a path that has been made by men or made for men. It is usually a well-traveled way, though on occasions it might be a rarely traveled way. It depends where the road is. It depends what kind of road it is. It depends upon the locations between which the road is found. But a way is a road that leads from one place to another place. And of course, the Bible has full of plenty of roads. Geographical roads, that is. Literal roads that lead from one town to another town. But the word way also passes into the metaphor of salvation. It passes into the gospel as an image and a picture of the way of salvation. And so it becomes to be used as a metaphor for the spiritual journey of a man. So yes, there are many literal roads about the material journey of man, but the Bible is also referring to the way in the spiritual journey of man. And the thing about every religion and all religions is that every religion pretends to tell of a way. If there's a religion, there's a way. Every religion is similar in that regard. Men tend to talk about the way of Buddha, or the way of Islam, or the way of Hinduism. Religion presents a way for man to sojourn so that he comes to God, he comes to peace, and he comes to heaven. And that's what religion generally is about. The problem, of course, is that there are so many religions, and therefore so many ways. Now, to many, that's not a problem. There are some people, and the idea of many ways and many religions is not a problem at all. Because there are many people who say, all these ways ultimately lead to God. Ultimately, everybody gets there in the end, in their own way. It's like saying all the ways are heading to the same place. They go by different directions and different paths, but they're all heading to the top of the mountain. We all want to get to God somehow, and so there are different ways that take us, different ways that bring us. And in one land, there's a certain way to the top, a certain way to God, and in another land, there's a different way to God. Some are born in Hindu places and they have a different way to God. And some are born in Muslim places and they have another way to God. And some are born in Jewish places and they have another way to God. And some are born in Christian places, of course, and they have another way to God. But everybody travels their way and all are headed to the top, to the same place, if by different directions. And ultimately, these people say, it's not the way that is important. It's the fact that you are trying. It's the fact that you are on the journey. It's the fact that you want to get to the top. You want to get to God. That's the important thing, all these people say. And so it's not the way. It is that you be sincere on your way. That's the important thing these people tell us. And so the fact that there are so many ways is not problematic. As long as you are sincere in your way, whatever it is, that's the main thing. But Christianity does not teach that. In Christianity, the way is central. The way is all. The way is the vital thing. It's all important. Christianity teaches the fact that there are so many ways is part of the problem. So many ways are dangerous. They're time-wasting. They're distracting. They're deluding. And they are positively harmful. And Christianity says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So this man sees a way right in his own eyes. He's sincere. This other man sees a way in his own eyes to go to God, and he's sincere. Many ways, but the end thereof is the same. They are the ways of death. And so Christianity is very focused on the fact that there's only one way. The Bible says, he led them forth by the right way to bring them to the city of habitation. So there is the right way, and there are many, many wrong ways. And they are not going to the same place, the city of habitation, the heavenly Zion. Now, the start of the way is where we find ourselves as sinners. Sinners in darkness. Sinners in danger. And the end of the way is God. Heaven. Eternal life. The heavenly Jerusalem. And in the text before us, in Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 20, we have the journey's start and we have the journey's end. Because the start of it is referred to in verse 22. Let us draw near. That is on this way with a true heart. That's the start of the journey. Us. It starts with us. Where we find ourselves. We have to begin it. We have to draw near on that way to God. And so the path finds us at the start in our sin. And the end of the journey is verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. And that's the end of the journey. And the holiest, of course, is the place where God is. The holy place, heaven itself. Now, we never built this way. God came to us and he made the way. That's what the text is telling us. He made the way. God made the way. He made the way, beginning with us, right into the holiest. The way. So that we could start the road and come to its finish in the presence of our God. The end of the way is to be in the very presence of the holy place with God. And of course, Christianity teaches us that Jesus Christ is that way. He came to us. He made the road and laid the path at our feet. He came to the dunghill where he found us. He came to the darkness where we were. He came to our sinful state and laid the path and was the forerunner into the holy place himself, having gone up to God. And he has made the way. And he is the way. And in the text, we're told something about the way. The kind of way that it is. the nature of the way. And that's what I want to speak about tonight. The characteristics of that way. The kind of way that it is. Because we're told here tonight certain things about the way. And I want to look at those characteristics of the Christian way. And of course, the thing that stands out first of all is that it's a new way. A new and living way. And Christ is a new way. Now, what does that mean? Whenever the apostle telling us that he's a new way. Now, by new here does not mean recent. He is not recent. I mean, he's not recent to us because he died 2,000 years ago. So it's not a recent way, but it's still a new way. It's not recent in our day. It wasn't even recent in Paul's day when he wrote his epistles. It wasn't recent, even 2,000 years ago, long before Paul. There were saints who traveled this way, long before the apostle Paul. Abraham went this way. And Abel went this way. And Adam went this way. So it's not recent. Remember how the Bible says that the Lord Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's a way that old. He's away from of old in ages past. So he's not recent. It is the precious blood of the Lamb who was foreordained before the foundation of the world. You know, when we call something new because we got it out of the shop a week ago. That's not what this means. It's called new because there was once an old way. There was an old way once. But it was closed and shut up. It was a way that Adam and Eve would have enjoyed and would have trodden. But the fall shut it up and closed it up. Because Adam and Eve, created in innocence and holiness, had another way. In the way of perfect obedience. Adam and Eve, in their innocence and in their obedience, they could come to God by the old way. A way of keeping the law. A way of not offending their Maker in one point at all. That's the old way. But it's shut up now. Because you see, we're sinners. We can't go by that path. It's grown over now by briars and it's impossible. It's impossible. The way to the tree of life has been shut off by the fall. That's the old way. There are people still try the old way. They think they can go through all those briars of the curse. They think they can somehow traverse it as if it's not there, the curse and the fall. And they try still to walk the path of perfect obedience. But it's shut up to sinners. They can't do it. It's closed off. But God brought a new way. Through the Lamb, a new way through grace. That's what it means here. So it's called a new because it is after the old. The new covenant is after the old covenant. And so the new way is after the old way. It's also called new because it never grows old and it never needs replaced. Whenever it's old, it'll need replaced. But it'll never need replaced because it's always new. Always new. And this way will not need replaced. God won't at some time have to come among us sinners and say, we need another way now. Christ has failed. Christ is not enough. We need another way. We need another new way. That'll never happen. Christ is always fresh. He's always new. He's always in the place of the old, and there'll never be anything in the place of him. Nothing new will ever be needed. And Christ, the way, will always remain new to sinners. But not only is this a new way, we're told here it is also a living way. The road to God is a living road. A road that is in itself alive. Living. Now what are we to make of this? A living road? That is so unique. That is so unusual. No road was ever alive. No road was ever living. Buddha's road is dead. Muhammad's road is dead. The road of Hinduism is dead. But you see the Christian road? It's living. It's alive. Now religion may claim to have ways, but not one of them claims a living way except Christianity. And Christianity has a living way because Christ is living. His tomb is empty because he has risen. The way to God is alive forevermore. He is not only living, but he is doing so on the power of an endless life. He ever liveth as this way. Now, there was, of course, as we shall see about this way, there was also dying. There was dying. And Christ died. And the Jews had to come into the tabernacle by the blood of the offerings. And there was always death. As they went in, as the priest went in, there was always a dead lamb. And the offerings never lived again. They were dead ways. But Christ, the true Lamb of God, he laid down his life, but he took it up again, for he lives. He was raised from the dead, and he is the living Savior. But it's not only called the living way, because Christ lives as that way. It's also called the living way because all who are on it are living. They who tread it and traverse it are alive. It's a way of life because those who are on it are alive and living. That's why it's called the living way. All the other ways are filled with dead sinners. Dead sinners are traversing dead ways. Ways that lead to death, and they themselves are dead, dead ways. But the Christian way is a living way. And they who are upon it are alive. And the dead do not tread it, because the dead cannot tread this living way. You have to be living to tread this way. And Christians are those who have been made alive by Jesus Christ. They have been quickened. Who were dead in trespasses and in sins. They were quickened by the new birth. They were made alive through the living Lord. And they traverse that way to God as those who are alive unto God. They're on the living way. They're full of life. Spiritual life and vitality as they come nearer and nearer to God. They were dead once, but are now alive. You hath he quickened, Paul said to the Ephesians. You who are now on the way, you have been quickened who were dead in sins. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live and shall never die again. For the Christian lives on this way. He says, I am the way, but he also says, I am the life. And those who are on that way are possessed by the truth, and they possess the truth, but they are also possessed by the life, and they possess the life. They're the living on the way. It's the living road, you see. The first Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And we know that we have passed from death on to life, the Apostle John says. And so it's called living for that reason. It's called living because all other ways are dead ways, with dead sinners upon them. And they're on the ways of death and they're going to death. But this is a way that leads on to life, everlasting life. But not only is it a new and living way, it is also a costly way. You know, roads and lands and nations are costly. Economically, they are expensive. Expensive to build, expensive also to keep and to maintain. And this new and living way, which began at our lost estate, was not cheap to build. It was not cheap to make this way. It is a very costly path. It cost life. No ordinary life, but the life of the Son of God Himself, who came to give that life, to make this way. And the life cost is hinted at in our text tonight. Because we have reference in verse 19 to the blood of Jesus. For we enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus has obtained this way. The blood of Jesus has been the cost of this way. New and living, but expensive, even without price and beyond measure, that only the blood of the Lamb of God could purchase and obtain. It also says there in verse 20, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh, His body, His humanity. And that veil had to be rent. That veil had to be torn. That veil had to be broken. Because the way had to go through His humanity. He had to be broken and rent in pieces for this way to be made through Him. And so the blood shed and the body broken was the cost of the way. There could be no way into the holiest without that breaking of the humanity. And the cost is depicted for us in the Lord's Supper. And on our journey on this way to glory, there are different stops and stages. And at those stops and stages, we observe the Lord's table along the way. At many stages, we come to the Lord's table on the way, and the Lord stops us at His table along the way to remind us of the cost. The cost of that way. This is my blood which is shed for you. That's the cost of the way that you're on, the way to my Father. I'm bringing you to my Father. I have made the way to my Father, but this is the cost. My blood, this is my blood. And then on the other hand, He says, this is my body. And it's been broken. It's been rent. It's been, as it were, a tunnel has been made through my humanity. And so we must never forget the cost of this way. And we never do, because in heaven we sing about it. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, we say. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, we've all come by the same path to this place, Your blood has paid it all. And that's why it's called the precious, precious blood of Jesus. New way, a living way, a costly way. It is the only way, single, solitary, unique. I've already hinted at this in the introduction, that Christianity is a religion that acknowledges only one way. And that is implied for us also in our text tonight. The word way is singular. Never new and living ways, but only ever a new and living way. Only one way is new. Only one way is living. Only one way obtained the blood of Jesus Christ. Only one way went through that veil. There was only one way through the veil. Just one way. Not many. The blood was shed once for one way. The humanity was rent once for one way. And Jesus says, I am the way. And Peter says, neither is there any other way, for there is no other salvation in any other. It's the only way. It is also a free way. The fact that it is free does not mean that that's a contradiction from the costliness of it. It is a costly way. But that was the cost for the builder. That was the cost for him who is the way. The rich unspeakable cost. But to them who are on the way, it's free. It's a free way. It's of grace. It is by grace. There are no toll gates to exact any price from us. It says, come freely, drink freely, traverse freely, draw near by faith. Whosoever will may come, whosoever will may walk therein. And it says at the start of the journey, ho, everyone that passeth by, come, without money, without price. Come on the way, the new and the living way. The Apostle Paul here says that the Lord has consecrated it for us. It is not a private way, therefore. It is a way for all who believe. It is a public way, a public highway for the whosoever will. It is set apart and devoted for the use of sinners, dedicated for the use of all poor and needy. He has consecrated it for us in grace. It's free. It's also a plain way, because it is clearly revealed in Scripture. And all the light of the Word of God shines upon it for us, so that we cannot miss it. Plainly revealed, plainly declared, plainly preached throughout all the Word of God. Not hidden, not concealed, not shut up and stuck away in some private dark place. But it is declared unto the heathen. And ministers and preachers are raised up to go amongst the nations to tell of the way, to preach the way, and to reveal the way. For it's plain, and the Lord wants it to be made plain. It's clear. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, here it is. It's announced unto all. It's announced with no uncertain terms and in no uncertain words. Jesus Christ is the way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No one comes to the Father but through His person and His work. It's plain. Plain to faith. Preached and proclaimed. And it's never complex. And it's not hard to understand. What does the Bible say? An highway shall be there. That's what it is. Not a wee lane stuck away in some dark place. A highway shall be there, plain, visible, prominent, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein, because it's plain. And it's a highway, and it's lifted high, and it's very simple, and it's visible to faith. So that even those who are not intellectually very great, the poor travelling sinner on the way of life, who doesn't have much, as it were, upstairs in regard to intelligence and brains, so that even the most humble and simple cannot err therein if he's taught by the Holy Spirit. It's a plain way. What can be more simple than that? Christ is the way. The mighty Saviour. The way back to God. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. He teaches them. It's also a safe way. There's no other way that's safe. The end thereof are the ways of death, all other ways. But this is a sure way, a tested way, tried and proved. It's built on solid rock. It's established on a sure foundation. It is upheld by an everlasting covenant. And by the persons of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it has been cemented by the blood of atonement. It is constructed well, and it will sustain and hold sinners to the end. And it will not fail in its task and purpose of bringing men back to God. And they that travel thereupon in faith will never be disappointed. They'll never be ashamed that at the end they might not see God and might not be with the Father. No, they can have confidence. What does the apostle say? A new and living way. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We can have confidence. We don't have to be filled with doubts and fears and worries. It's so certain and it's so sure. If you believe in Jesus Christ, and if you're trusting in the mediator, the Son of God, between the Father and yourself, if you're coming to the Father through Christ, you can have full assurance. Because it's sure and tested and proved. And anyone who's walked upon it has never been disappointed. For all who are on it are kept by the power of God unto salvation. And it has been traversed by multitudes. Millions have come by this way and not one has been lost. And all have made it to glory. And all have entered into the holiest. Traveling it, every one of them made journey's end. And sat down with God in glory. All received the end of their faith. Who were upon it. Even the salvation of their souls. Thousands and thousands. Multitude beyond number. And everyone finished with joy. in the Father's house. And so we can have assurance on the way. And that's what all the other ways, that's the problem with all the other ways. They don't provide that assurance. And they're in this religion and that religion, and they're trying the other, and they're trying different ways, and they have no peace and no assurance, because only this way provides the foundation. And that's why the apostle goes on to say, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. We who are on the way, drawing near to God on that way, let us hold fast our profession. For he is faithful that promised. It's a sure way. It's also a joyful and a happy way. New and living and costly, solitary, free, plain, sure and safe. But also pleasant and sweet. It's a sweet way. It's a way of peace. It's a way of gladness that unconverted sinners do not have or know. In all the ways that they tread, they have no peace with God, no hope, no assurance, no joy unspeakable and full of glory. But the way of the cross is the way of fellowship. It is the blessed way. It has the presence of Christ. It has the Holy Spirit. It has the sweetness of the honey of God's Word as it is brought to us by His present Holy Spirit. It is a way we would never leave. It is a way we would never depart from. Because it is a way of joy and gladness, a way of satisfaction and delight. And saints delight to go that way. They're not dragged along it. There's not chains pulling them through it. No, they jump and leap and skip on that way, for they're rejoicing in Jesus Christ. And they come to Zion by that way with rejoicing. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion on the way with songs and everlasting joy on their head. And they know that they shall obtain joy and gladness at the end of the journey, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away, and every tear shall be made dry. And so the Christian on this journey can say, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. The joy of that way. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keeping the minds of those who are upon it. And so in closing, all men are called in the Bible to consider their ways. Consider your ways. You must give consideration to this matter, people. It is so vital. A wrong way is lethal, eternally lethal. So you must consider your ways. What is your way? Is it a way of sin? Is it a way from God? Is it a perverse way? Is it a rebellious way? Is it a false way? Is it an unclean way? Consider your ways and get on the right way. Even this way that we have preached upon tonight. And learn to pray as the psalmist prayed. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be a wicked way identified with me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Consider your ways, and consider the new and the living way, and commence it by faith.